has forgotten all those instructions, but the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mamhi partav yapashritya yepi syu papayoniha striyo vaishas tata shutras te pi yanti parangatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be low-born women, vaishas, merchants, or sudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. The word papayoni refers to those who are less than sudras. But even though a woman may not be papayoni because of being less intelligent, she sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there is no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment, and because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. But if even a woman practices devotional service strictly, according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord himself that she can return to Godhead, te piyanti parangatim, is not at all astonishing. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home, back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. And I'll read text 17, and the purport is long, so I won't read the Sanskrit. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words simply by that faith, you can also understand transcendental knowledge just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter. Purport. These words of Prahlad Maharaj are very important in regard to knowledge descending by the disciplic succession. Even when Prahlad Maharaj was a baby within the womb of his mother, he became fully convinced of the existence of the supreme power because of hearing the powerful instructions of Narada and understood how to attain perfection in life by bhakti yoga. These are the most important understandings in spiritual knowledge. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata garau tasya te katita yatar prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Svete Svatara Upanishad 6:23. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukhe Hijiva Dao Svayam Eva Spratyada. No one can understand Krishna as he is by the blunt material senses, but he reveals himself to the devotees, being pleased with them for their transcendental loving service unto him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:2-2:34. Bhakti mam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18:55. These are Vedic instructions. One must have full faith in the words of the spiritual master and similar faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the real knowledge of Atma and Paramatma and the distinction between matter and spirit will be automatically revealed. This Atma Tattva, or spiritual knowledge, will be revealed within the core of a devotee's heart because of his having taken shelter of the lotus feet of a Mahajan, such as Prahlad Maharaj. In this verse, the word bhuyat may be understood to mean let there be. Prahlad Maharaj offers his blessings to his class friends, saying, also become faithful like me, become bona fide Vaishnavas. A devotee of the Lord desires for everyone to take to Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, however, people sometimes do not have staunch faith in the words of the spiritual master who comes by the disciplic succession, and therefore they are unable to understand transcendental knowledge. The spiritual master must be in the line of authorized disciplic succession, like Prahlad Maharaj, who received the knowledge from Narada. If the class friends of Prahlad Maharaj, the sons of demons, were to accept the truth through Prahlad, they would certainly also become fully aware of transcendental knowledge. The words Vaisharadi refers to intelligence concerning the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely expert. The Lord has created wonderful universes by his expert knowledge. Unless one is extremely expert, he cannot understand the expert management of the Supreme Expert. One can understand, however, if one is fortunate enough to meet a bona fide spiritual master coming in disciplic succession from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Mother Lakshmi, or the Kumaras. These four sampradayas, or disciplic successions of knowledge and transcendence, are called Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, and Kumara Sampradaya. Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha. The knowledge of the Supreme received from such a sampradaya or disciplic succession can give one enlightenment. If one does not take to the path of disciplic succession, it is not possible for one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one understands the Supreme Lord through devotional service with faith in the disciplic succession and then advances further, he awakens his natural love for God, and then his success in life is assured. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Picharne Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschachide Satanane Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatva Maham Bande Shri Guru Dinatharanam O Meghanath Vinandasyaganangana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmadatam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guru Venamaha Vanshakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhavyavacha Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So I could say, well, I forgot what I was going to say for class today, so we'll just stop there. Because of the long purport. And because it got changed so many times and really confused. So anyway, in these two verses, there's a discussion going on between Prahlad and his friends. And they're, you know, he's explaining to them how he became who he is or how he got the knowledge that he has. And up until this verse, the information has been kind of historical. And in these two verses, it becomes more in terms of qualification or what is necessary in order to not just hear knowledge, but have knowledge take root, have knowledge bear fruit. And then, after these two verses, he begins to speak that knowledge, or what exactly he received from Narada, his spiritual master. So, there are two material disqualifications mentioned, and two spiritual qualifications mentioned, at least. So, the two material disqualifications are, in the first verse, that one is a woman, and in the second verse, that one is a child. Both of those classes of individuals are considered to be less intelligent. Anyone who's taken care of children knows that on some level, they're less intelligent. On other levels, they may be more intelligent. But on some level, they're less intelligent. They can't memorize things, and they're not able to do many things. And their intelligence is limited by their bodily form and their development. And also for women, the situation can be the same. But Srila Prabhupada here, being very politically correct in the purport of both verses, mentions that Krishna gives facility even to those born in the most low forms of life. Now, for the men, the people on this side of the temple room, they may go, well, okay, well, they can make it because of Prabhupada's mercy. But the fact of the matter is that none of us can claim any great qualification in this age of Kali. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, mandak sumanda matayo, you know, we're lazy, misguided, unfortunate, easily illusioned, we quarrel for no good reason. And throughout the Bhagavatam, we're reminded that in this age of Kali, everyone is born Sudra, at best, Some of us aren't even there. Prabhupada in one place says that 90% of the people in the age of Kali are barbarians. So we hear even that they're actually less than sutras because we're meat eaters. And we don't even know. Like Prabhupada had to give us the four regulative principles. And for us, I hear it all over as I travel. This is a big, big thing, following the four regulative principles. We wonder, did someone fall down? Did they didn't follow the four regulative principles? But to human beings, even in the sutra class, four regulative principles, or at least three of them, are basically the human form of life. And Prabhupada impressed us again and again that these four regulative principles take us to a level where we can actually begin spiritual life. They're the qualifications for beginning spiritual life. They're not actually spiritual activities. They're just human activities. But in this age of Kali, being a human being is a very difficult thing. And we can see that even amongst our ranks and becoming a devotee of Krishna or coming into contact with devotional service, Samahatma Sudurlabha, of a person who comes in contact with Krishna consciousness is one out of many millions of persons. It's described in Bhagavad Gita that a person who takes to spiritual life or comes in contact and tries to progress in spiritual life is a very rare soul. So anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness on any level, who chants the holy name once, even Mahaprabhu said, that person is considered to be a very great soul, very rare, a Vaishnava. So here we are, very great souls. We're in the assembly of very great souls, and yet we struggle. We struggle with staying fixed in our practices. We struggle with chanting our rounds. We struggle with coming to the program. We struggle with following the four regulative principles. It's very difficult for us to progress. So the reason for this is because we don't have any qualification, really. So we can't become too proud. I'm a man and she's only a woman. I was in a room with Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, in Prabhupada's room in Mayapur. And I think it was in 1975. And I had been brought in there by Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. Pishima had a habit. She would never go into Prabhupada's room alone, even if Prabhupada was in there already with other people. She would always grab another woman and take them in with her. She would wash you off with Ganga Jal, and which she carried around all the time. And then she would grab you by the arm with great force and drag you into Prabhupada's room. And so on one such occasion, I was brought into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was having a discussion about how in Vedic society or in our Krishna conscious society, everybody can be recognized by what they wear. That the brahmacharis, they're wearing saffron cloth with a piece in the back, the dhoti. Sannyasi is not wearing dhoti, rather lungi, and the married women are wearing colored cloth with sindhu in their hair. And then he said, but in our Krishna conscious society, everybody dresses very simply. And so one Mataji, one woman in the back, she raised her hand and she said, but Srila Prabhupada, what if your husband gives you very fancy saris? You can't wear them? And Prabhupada said, wear them in front of your husband. He said, otherwise, who are you trying to impress? Krishna is not impressed by very beautiful saris. So then she made kind of a face, and Prabhupada said, well, you know, ask her with his face, what's the problem? She said, she didn't answer. And so Prabhupada said, they should treat you like mother. And her response was, they call us mother, but they don't treat us like mother. So then Prabhupada looked around the room, and Pushtakrishna Maharaj was sitting right next to Prabhupada, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I think it's like when they think of that verse where it said, whenever I think of sex life, I spit on the idea. Well, they think it means whenever I think of women, I spit on the idea. And Prabhupada thought for a second, and he said, first let them become free of sex desire, then let them spit. So in this age of Kali, we have very little qualification. And therefore, for all of us, taking Krishna consciousness depends on these two other factors that are described here in these verses and purports. The first one is blessings. That Prahlad Maharaj says that because he received the blessings of his spiritual master, he was able, or he wasn't able to forget. He remembered those instructions because he had gotten those blessings from his spiritual master. Now, how do we get blessings? Blessings are given, they're bestowed upon us by our superiors. If we don't think we have any superiors, then we probably won't get blessings. So that's one qualification, right? We have to understand that there are superiors. We know that from Yudhisthira Maharaj's experience and Duryodhana's experience when they were sent out to find, respectively, persons who were less advanced than them, more advanced than them. Duryodhana said, there's nobody more advanced, and Yudhisthira said, there's no one less advanced than me. I can't find anyone who's less qualified than I am. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one cannot make advancement unless he knows. He doesn't know everything. So we're in a situation where we have to admit, we have to recognize that we have superiors. And then we have to serve those people. We have to serve those superiors. We serve all living entities, of course, in different ways. But specifically, we serve the superior devotees by hearing from them and begging for their blessings. Because without their blessings, we can't make any advancement. And on the contrary, with their blessings, even with no other qualification, we can reach perfection. It's described that this example very nicely with Madhavendra Puri and Ishvara Puri and Ramchandra Puri, right? That because one, Ishvara Puri served his spiritual master with great devotion and pleased him, he received his blessings that Ishvara Puri would become a very, very wonderful devotee. And so wonderful was his fortune that he had the privilege of being the spiritual master, if one can be the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Ramchandra Puri had a different experience because he was arrogant and he treated his spiritual master with disrespect and therefore he did not receive his blessings. And the result was that he fell down. Even though he was so learned, even though he was a man, and he was very qualified in so many ways, still he could not advance in devotional service because he didn't have the blessings of his spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada was very merciful to us. Every time he wrote us a letter, he said, please accept my blessings. He gave us his blessings repeatedly. And whenever there would be any endeavor that a devotee would embark upon, some 19-year-old boy getting in a plane and flying to Germany to start a temple or whatever, Prabhupada would give them all blessings. And Krishna will give you all blessing. And the disciplic succession will give you all blessing so that you can be successful. Because when we endeavor, we receive the blessings of the spiritual master. He bestows them upon us, and by them we become empowered. No matter how unqualified we may be, we can become empowered by the blessings of the previous acharyas, of the disciplic succession, of our spiritual master, of all the senior Vaishnavas. So we should always seek blessings in any endeavor. If we don't seek blessings, the implied message is that I can take care of things. I'm okay. I'm cool. I can do it myself. I got it together. And therefore, I don't need blessings. I don't need anything from anybody, right? This is an ethos practically in the material world these days, that I stand on my own two feet. I do what I have to do. I can take care of things. The power of one. So I actually was seeing bumper stickers with the American flag that say the power of pride, and pride comes before the fall. So we can see the power of pride. The power of pride is the destruction of the human race. Someone gave me a very nice acronym the other day. Maybe it was, I don't know where it came from. It was Devarshi Prabhu said, and maybe it even came from this class, as someone said it, I didn't hear. But he said, war, I mean, we are right, results in war. So if I think I'm right, if I think I know everything, there'll always be disaster, war. That's what comes from this power of one, my determination that I know everything. So when we admit that we don't know anything, then we seek advice, we seek guidance, just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. At the beginning, he presented himself as very knowledgeable. He expressed so many reasons why he shouldn't fight, and they were all very good reasons. They were Vedic reasons, Shastric reasons. They were reasons that were coming from compassion and from a devotional vision of the world. He wasn't a gross materialist. And his reasons weren't just foolish. Even Prabhupada says that they came because he was a devotee of the Lord. So many reasons he gave. But at the end of it all, he realized, I'm so confused. I don't really know what to do. And therefore, I approach a spiritual master, and in all humility, I say, please, I'm confused about duty. I've lost all composure due to weakness. I don't know what's best for me. Therefore, I ask you to please become my spiritual master and give me guidance. And immediately, Krishna takes the position of his spiritual master and says, you're acting like a fool. Just listen to me. And it's not that Arjuna didn't ask questions either. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna questions. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, wait a minute, how did that happen? How did that work? How were you older and then you instructed? And it doesn't, now you're here and you're only, it doesn't make any sense to me. And which is better, renunciation or work? I don't understand. You tell me not to do something abominable, but then you tell me to fight. And again, Arjuna questions, right? But each time, Krishna answers, and on, until the 18th chapter, Krishna says, okay, now I've told you everything, now do what you want. And that's when faith comes, which is the second qualification mentioned in verse 17, that we have to have faith. We have, in order to really get the benefit of the blessings of the spiritual master, we have to cultivate faith. And faith doesn't just come. It doesn't just appear. Faith is cultivated. We get it from who we choose to associate with, who we choose to hear from, and how we choose to act. Right? We every day, some people say, well, I don't have any faith. This one fell down, that one fell down. My faith has been damaged. But the fact of the matter is every minute we act with faith. Right? Every step we take, we have faith the floor won't crumble. We get on an airplane, which I've been doing a lot lately, and I think about it often. Whenever you get on the plane, you have faith that the plane is going to get from one end to the other. You have to be, I always think before I get on the plane that I have to be prepared that I may not make it. In order to take that ride, I have to be prepared that I may not make it. I have to have faith that if I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'll go back to Godhead. So it requires faith to get on a plane. It requires faith to get in a car, to ride on the street. To cross the street requires faith. Some people haven't made it, right? Some people haven't made it. It actually, sometimes it requires faith just to walk on the street. I was hearing yesterday that the violent crime rate in the state of Florida has increased by like 20% over the last couple of years. And so they're building an extension on the prison. Akuti will be happy. She'll have more people to preach to. They're increasing the number of beds in the prison. Because more people are being incarcerated. Why? Because more people are committing crimes. So just walking on the street, you have to have faith. So we get married, we have faith. We try some business venture, we have faith that I'll invest this money and I'll get some more in return. So we have faith every day. If we didn't have faith or if we stopped acting on faith, every time our faith was damaged, basically we'd all sit in the house and we wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't go out, we wouldn't leave the home. We would just stay locked up and we would try to protect ourselves. There are people who have done that, that have tried to eliminate all germs and all negative influences, and you know, they wear amulets around them and crystals in their pockets and so many different things trying to keep away evil influences, right? So even we do puja, right? Sometimes we do puja, we hang these yantras all over the place. We try to do everything so that there won't be any evil influences. But unfortunately, the material world is certified dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and full of misery. And no matter what we do, we will experience that. The question is, where do we put our faith? Do we put our faith in Krishna's words? Do we put our faith in the concept that Krishna and Guru are always with us? Srila Prabhupada said he was never alone. His spiritual master was always with him. And therefore, when he was in New York, when he was being chased by somebody down the stairs with a knife, when he didn't have anywhere to live, when he didn't know where the rent was coming from for the temple for the next month, when he didn't know how he was going to spread Krishna consciousness to accomplish the vision that he had of hundreds of temples all over the world, he had full faith in the order of his spiritual master and full faith in the disciplic succession and full faith in Krishna's words. And therefore, he was able to accomplish amazing things. And Prabhupada also asked for blessings. We have that nice story where Srila Prabhupada was going regularly to the house of Advaita Acharya and praying for the blessings. When the Pujari asked him, Saduji, why are you here? He said, because I'm going to America on the order of my spiritual master. And it was by the mercy of Advaita Acharya that Mahaprabhu appeared. So I'm coming here to seek his blessings so that I can be, I'm leaving tomorrow and I need to accomplish this. I don't know how I'm going to accomplish. Right? He couldn't log on to Google and find out the weather or get a cheap hotel. He had to go there, he didn't know what, right? And at night he would go into the courtyard of Rupa, where Rupa Goswami was, and so many Samadhi Jiva Goswami, so many wonderful devotees residing in that place of Radha Damodar, and Prabhupada would call out, oh Rupa, oh Sanatan, please give me your blessings, give me your mercy, so that I can remain strong, I can remain faithful, and I can accomplish the mission that's been given to me by my Guru Maharaj. So we have to cultivate that faith. That's our responsibility so that we can make advancement in devotional service. If we don't cultivate that faith, then we have no chance. Whether we're men, or whether we're women, whether we're children, whether we're tall, short, fat, sudra, rich, poor, good-looking, ugly, whatever, we won't be able to achieve whatever it is we want to achieve if we don't cultivate that faith. For us, we're all Kripa Siddha. We come, Krishna, Prabhupada said he's created our good qualification, our good fortune. It's like we chant, you know, your mercy is all that I'm made of, right? And what does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? He says that Krishna consciousness is being sold by Nityananda Prabhu in the marketplace, and what is the price? The price is your faith. So if we don't have that Shraddhavan, if we don't have that faith, then there's no hope for us to go back to Godhead. And we should understand that we have faith in something. The question is whether we put faith in something sublime or we put faith in something mundane. But we can't be fooled into thinking that we have no faith in anything. So when you say your faith has been damaged, you have to decide then what you will do about it. Will you repair it? Will you constantly engage in devotional service and see Krishna's hand in everything? Or will you put your faith in something mundane? We look here, who's praying? Prahlad Maharaj. Did he have an easy time of it? Not exactly, right? He was put through so much suffering. So, I mean, we could say, well, if Narada Muni really wanted to give blessings to Prahlad Maharaj, he could have come and gotten him out of that situation. He knew what was going to happen. He's Trikalagya. He could have said to his mother, listen, don't send him back there. He's just going to get tortured. He could have arranged for an escape for him. He could have come in the night. Narada can go anywhere, you know. He could have just taken Prahlad out of there, right? Krishna could have caught him at the top of the hill and instead of at the bottom of the hill when he fell. Right? He could have avoided going into that burning fire. But no, Prahlad Maharaj went through all those things and never once did he think that Krishna had abandoned him. Never once did his faith waver. Well, maybe my spiritual master made a mistake. Maybe I should take the kingdom of my father and all this money and wealth and power. Maybe that is where happiness lies. He never thought that, even for a second. And therefore, he was able to impart such amazing teachings to the sons of demons because he had such faith. And what did he tell them? If you have faith like me, if you cultivate faith in my words, then you can achieve the same level of spiritual advancement that I have achieved. Because my qualification is that I had faith in my spiritual master. We chant it every morning. Yasya prasadhat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadhat nagatir katopi. Right? Dayam stuvam stasya yasastri sandam bande guroshi charanaravindam. That by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. That's where we get our advancement from. We have to have faith in Srila Prabhupada. We have to have faith in these books. We have to have faith in these teachings. Queen Kunti, she went through so much suffering. And in her prayer, she enumerated it all, right? My son, my family tried to get burned and in the house of lack. So many different things happen. But still, I pray that these calamities happen again and again. Because I have so much faith in you. And when these calamities happen, I think of you. But when I'm going, when things are going fine and everything's all right, my son's on the throne and the money and there's no problem, I might forget. And that would be the greatest calamity. That would be a worse calamity than anything. So therefore you stay. I'd rather have all those material calamities again and again Just you stay here. Don't leave. And so for all of us, we have to feel like that, that the worst problem that we can have is forgetfulness of Krishna. We have to remember Krishna no matter what. And we have to have faith in the spiritual master no matter what. Faith in the disciplic succession. Someone may stumble, someone may fall, but still the disciplic succession is there. The teachings of Srila Prabhupada are there. And we have to put our faith somewhere. We best to put our faith in something sublime. So I'll stop there because it's already 10 to 9. And if there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes. I knew one of you would have to answer a question. I mean, oh. I'm looking, and Prango Vinaprabhu is sitting there with his hands in his lap, and
he's getting ready. He's warming up. concerning the hearing of the Bhagavatam, he heard the teachings of Narada Muni in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have heard it said that even today, if a woman is pregnant, that it's good to read the Bhagavatam.
After the seventh month, yes.
After the seventh month, the child wakes up. This is something. Now,
because that's when the hearing develops.
Yeah.
The ability to hear.
But the child is like a captive audience there. You know, I mean, what is not hearing with faith, not hearing with faith. He or she must be hearing. And what is the determination whether that's going to do any good or not? Or just automatically it will help, or the quality of the reading, maybe the person behind it.
Well, I'm sure there's a qualification of the speaker, there's the qualification of the hearer, but they're definitely benefit. You can't say there isn't. And actually, I was discussing this with one devotee friend of mine not too long ago about how it appears sometimes that things happen to us or to anybody and it looks like there's no effect to their hearing or to their years of devotional service. But the fact of the matter is that that's not the case because it's just a blip in time. You know, so if someone doesn't pop out of the womb and achieve pure devotional service, it doesn't mean that that reading didn't have any effect on them. It means that somewhere in the course of their devotional, you know, their lives, that spiritual sukriti, that spiritual potency will have an effect or has had an effect in cleansing so many material desires from their heart, because we don't know how many were there before. There are so many stories, and you know, I mean, Queen Kunti is only one example, but in the Mahabharata and even in the material world, there are so many examples of people who, on one level, like for me yesterday, day before yesterday, someone come, would you give class? I said, okay, but can I give class on Wednesday instead of Tuesday? Sure, okay. So then I went home and I read the verse and I thought, I'm so lucky. I don't have to give on this verse about women. It's your problem, right? And so in the morning you were thinking, oh, I don't want to give a lecture on that verse. And so you got the mercy, you spoke about Haridas Thakur, you were trying to give the verse, the class away, but no one would take it. And Babru came over to me, he said, yeah, Dravida just came and asked me to give class on that verse, but I told him, hey, you do it, I'm not going to do it. So then I come to class, and you got the mercy, you're speaking on Haridas Thakur, and I've got the verse again, right? I'm offering obeisances, and I thought, oh, this is terrible. And then someone comes to me this morning and says, oh, you get to talk on both verses. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. So at first it appears something terrible. Next thing it appears something wonderful. It really just depends on our vision. And so even devotees who've in the womb heard the Bhagavatam, and they may go through many things in their lives, but those things are designed by Krishna for their ultimate spiritual welfare. And what their ultimate vision is, we cannot say. I have seen it many times, that people go in many strange, convoluted paths before they get to pure devotional service. Now he's got his hand up.
I just wanted to, not nothing about this, but this particular verse Srila Prabhupada put in the commentary is very...
Which one? There's a lot of verses.
Mamhi partha bepasrita yavi bhapo janaya. So Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary, he writes this, Papo Junayam mean antaja. And then I look at, I have the Bengali Bhagavad Gita translation of Prabhupada's from Mayapur. So it's a little different than here. Prabhupada, I think in English, Prabhupada writes low-born, low-class-born, something like that. But low-class-born, because the wife of Brahmana, here Krishna is speaking, this Papo Junayam or the women, not a wife of a devotee or a brahmana or kshatriya. Or he's not talking about that, according to Srila Baladev Vidyavachan. He's talking about this Papojanaya is antaja. Antaja means who are out of four varna ashram.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like Muslim.
Which is all of us. Except you, Prabhu. Yeah, yeah. But all of the rest
of us. No, not really. We are not, because we are Vaishnava.
Right.
We are higher than varna ashram.
Right. We've taken, by Prabhupada's kripa, we're all Vaishnavas. Yes. But by birth, outside.
That's true. Like Prabhupada told to Jodhurani, that if you think you are women, then you are less
intelligent.
But if you think you are spirit soul, Vaishnava, then you are very high.
Right.
So it depends. You are right. So in that sense, he said that the sti, the women, Baladev Vidyavachan Thakur says, is for the prostitute who are out of the varnasram system. The papojanaya, the antaja, or the low class like a Muslim who doesn't follow the Vedic four varna ashram. And the women are those who are out of the four system.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not really any women.
And Prabhupada said that he has us boys and girls preaching together, and therefore we're both empowered equally.
And if I can say one thing, this whole little pastime of who's gonna get the hot potato. verse. I did some research expecting I was going to give
you. You were supposed to send that to me.
I know, and I forgot because I'm less intelligent.
I know. I sent you a letter. Wait till you read it. Go ahead.
I didn't get that. I didn't check my email. So anyway, one of the things, you mentioned one of the two things that I found, which is this famous purport in chapter 7 on Adi Lila, where Prabhupada is responding to a criticism from his godbrothers. You can see a lot of that in that part of the... And they're criticizing because of the Brahmacharini Ashrams. And he says there that what they don't know is that these girls are as good as their brothers because they're also preaching and they're on the same level. But there's another one that's a letter that's also on this set. And that's having to do with giving class. Of course, you know, he says, I'm just paraphrasing, yes, the ladies should give class. The qualification is to whether they know the philosophy or not. So this, you know, it's a very good letter. I'll send it to you, you know, the reference to it. But one thing I wanted to also mention about the translation of this verse, because this was a little controversial of this Mali part of the Vaishitya, and that is that in the Gita itself, doesn't matter whether you're reading Macmillan Gita or the present edition, the same, and that is there's two things. One is that it seems to be where Prabhupada is putting the women within the lowborn category, as he mentions, which is, there's actually four categories, Papa Yonis, the ladies, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras. And as he says here in the purport, women may not be the Papa Yoni. You know. Right. But also it says, those who take shelter can attain the Supreme. Mm-hmm. By the word can there, Prabhupada means will. That's what Krishna is saying. Anyone who takes shelter, no matter who they are, will go back to Godhead. So I just wanted to make that clear.
I had a funny experience in Buffalo in 1969, where one devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you said that anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness must have had some good background in their previous life. And Prabhupada said, yes. And he said, so does that mean that I was a yogi in my previous life or some advanced person? Prabhupada said, some people come by mistake. So I always consider, you know, that's how, it's a mistake that I'm here. But by Prabhupada's mercy, somehow or other, you know, he's created my good fortune. Babu, Prabhu, you had your hand up.
To kind of follow up on what Dravida was saying, you notice in Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, in the verse in Bhagavad Gita, the women, Shudras, and Vaishyas, it's punctuated as if that's in a positive, as if those are classes of low-born. In this purport, the verse was not punctuated like that. It was punctuated differently so that you had a list. Mm-hmm. Low-born, women, Vaishyas, Shudras, and Vaishyas. And I heard... several years ago, I heard Hridayananda Maharaj talking on Bhagavad Gita on Talk of the Nation, an NPR TV show, radio show with Dr. Narayanan from UF. And he was talking, someone called and asked about this verse. And he explained that if you look at the verse grammatically, it's not necessarily in a positive, but it's a list. And mm-hmm. and the point of the verse is not that women are less intelligent, just as you were pointing out, you and Dravida were pointing out. The point is not that women are less intelligent or shudras are less intelligent, but by social convention, they're disqualified. They're ordinarily mm-hmm. disqualified. But if they have faith, then they can get all of
it. And it's interesting because there are many, just 1 second, Prabhu, there are many examples in Shastra, again and again we see, with Draupadi, with Kunti, with Gandhari, with Mandodari, all these women, even the ones that were married to less than desirable husbands, the Nagapatnis, right? So he's shaking his head. That they all gave very good advice to their not very intelligent husbands. The wives of the Brahmins and the wives who went to feed Krishna Balaram. It comes up again and again. And Prabhupada even says sometimes now that in the temples you'll see more women than men because the men are too mental and they're, they get into philosophical debate, but the women are faithful and so they can go easily and just offer themselves to Krishna in service. And so not to say that men are less intelligent or anything, but the fact is that every material body has detrimental aspects and positive aspects, but the one or the opportunities for blessings and to cultivate faith is there for every person in the human form of life, and it's up to us to take those opportunities and move forward. You wanted to say, or did I say? You were shaking your head, so... Okay. I think I better end. I'm sorry, Mantini Prabhu.
I just wanted to make a comment. Yesterday I went to Shrestha's funeral at the Episcopal Church. Many devotees attended. And mostly her relatives got up and made comments and talked about her life and her impact on their lives. And this is just goes to show how the qualities of a Vaishnava, whether they're women or found in men, outshine. Her brother was very much influenced by her devotion to deity worship, and he remembers when he was 9 years old going down in the basement where she stayed, and she was dressing Radha Krishna, and he was so attracted, and he made a very poignant attribution to how she influenced him throughout his whole life spiritually and what a spiritual influence she was on the whole family. And she was married to a Muslim, and he actually talked about when they first met, and she was a devotee when they met, and he noticed her nice qualities of kind of being shy and in the corner, and so he went up to her and asked her if he could take her out for a drink, and she says, no, I don't drink. And he said, well, what about coffee? And no, I don't. Well, what about a movie? And no, I don't go to movies. Well, can I have your phone number? And so she gave him that. And then he called her for 6 months every day at 4:00. And her mother said, no, she's not home. And so finally, when he did connect, she said, well, how come you never called? And well, I called. In other words, her qualities were what attracted him, her devotional qualities, and he actually made a vow to her on her deathbed that he would chant 10 rounds a day for the rest of his life. It was very, very impressive. It was amazing how much influence she had on the people around her, and her Vaishnava qualities were even just a small devotee, you know, how much influence we have on people.
Thank you. Anybody else?
By the way, I just remember when Acharya is commenting on Bedala Purushottara. One of the Acharya from our parampara, I have to find it, that in 621 million people got killed. They're all men. And the reason was they're arrogant and stubborn. And the women are easy to mold. I forgot. There was a whole article about it given.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Please give me your blessings that I can do something in my travels. Inspire somebody to...